You're listening to Right to Survive Radio. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak.
Hey, good evening. This is Jean.
And this is Rowan.
And this is Transpositive PDX.
Tune in this Friday, September 22nd, during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive for News and Public Affairs Day to hear breaking stories, interviews with national journalists and political leaders, and to become a sustaining member. Give the gift that keeps on giving in the form of a KBOO donation and become part of community media.
The time is 30 seconds to 5 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Please support the station during our fall membership drive by calling 877-500-5266 or by going to kboo.fm and clicking on that donate button. Coming up next is your Friday evening news.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Oregon Representative Greg Walden has introduced a bill to allow salvage logging in the Columbia Gorge.
Facebook has agreed to turn over more than 3,000 politically themed ads that were purchased with Russian accounts.
Eastbound I-84 is scheduled to reopen Sunday night or Monday morning.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, September 22nd, 2017, World Car Free Day. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. Good evening. I'm Linda Olson-Osterland.
And I'm Ruben Lawrence. According to the Oregon Department of Transportation, the eastbound lanes of I-84 should be ready to reopen no later than Sunday night or Monday morning. The highway was closed on September 4th because of the Eagle Creek fire. The westbound lanes were reopened on September 14th, but the eastbound lanes remained closed due to a large grove of burned firs and cottonwoods adjacent to the highway near Ainsworth State Park. The trees were considered a hazard to motorists, and ODOT has spent the last 2 weeks removing over 4,000 trees. According to the Forest Service, the downed trees will be used for the fish habitat projects or will be ground into mulch for restoration of the gorge. The service noted that damaged trees may threaten trails within the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area and still need to be removed. Much of the burned acreage is within the Gorge Scenic Area and the Mark O. Hatfield Wilderness, both of which have historically been off limits for commercial logging. However, as we'll hear in the next story, that situation may change.
The fire in the Columbia River Gorge has slowed down as a result of this week's rains, but it's not completely out yet. Officials said that most of the fire is smoldering and residents in the area may continue to see smoke. Fire crews are still monitoring the perimeter and putting out hot spots. But even while the fire is cooling down, the debate over what to do next is just heating up. Eric Tegahoff has more.
A fire in the Columbia River Gorge is slowing down, but debate over what to do next is just heating up. Representative Greg Walden of Oregon has introduced a bill to allow a practice known as salvage logging in the area of the Eagle Creek Fire, which burned more than 48,000 acres in the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area between Portland and Hood River. But that bill has drawn the ire of conservation groups that say fast-tracking logging in the area could actually be detrimental to the region. Michael Lang with the group Friends of the Columbia Gorge says only the logging industry gets a boost from this bill.
The really sole beneficiary would be timber companies that got the contracts to go in and conduct the timber sales. And it would be to the detriment of gorge residents, to residents of the Northwest that cherish the gorge, and also to our public lands.
The area has been protected from logging and road building for more than a century. Walden says the bill prioritizes restoration and cleanup in the gorge. It is currently in the House Subcommittee on Conservation and Forestry. Lang says scientific evidence hasn't found salvage logging helps after fires. He says it could actually have the opposite effect because the heavy machinery required to log can damage soil and bring in non-native plants, and that natural regeneration after fires actually makes forests more resilient. He adds that logging isn't what the affected residents of the gorge need right now.
What gorge communities need right now is economic assistance. There are a lot of small family-owned businesses that are really hurting from this fire, with the interstate closed down, being under evacuation, businesses plummeted.
As of Thursday, about 46% of the Eagle Creek fire has been contained. For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
According to Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, Portland is on the short list of cities that could get a Major League Baseball team. At a Wednesday press conference in Seattle, Manfred was asked about the league's possible expansion to 32 teams. A reporter asked if their neighbors to the south, in Portland, would be on the short list of cities vying for an expansion team. Manfred replied that if the league expanded to 32 teams, they would need at least one more Western time zone team. He stated that, quote, "I think Portland is a possibility. You can think of the prospects on the West Coast as effectively as I can," end quote. This isn't the first time that the commissioner has mentioned the possibility of a team in Portland. This is the 25th largest television market in the country, making it larger than a number of cities with teams including Baltimore, San Diego, Kansas City, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Cincinnati.
KBOO volunteers bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. We hope you appreciate it. And we'll take a moment now to show your support by becoming a member. Call 877-500-5266. And now joining us are Kyle and Zealous to tell you more about becoming a member of KBOO.
Thanks so much, Linda. We are back. KBOO, we're all about you. We're about involving you in every step of the way, from news. We get our breaking news tips and stories from our community. I want to mention before I forget, there is a prize drawing going on right now. To become a member now and to be entered to win this prize, today's drawing is for the Northwest Premier Environmental Film Festival. You'll win a total of 10, count them, 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Eagle Film Festival held at the Hollywood Theater.
It's 20 tickets.
Did you just say it's 20 tickets? It's a total of 10. Don't mislead the people.
10 pairs of tickets. That's 20. But anyway, we're offering...
Oh, 10 pairs, I guess you're right. I fell asleep at the wheel there.
We're offering the new prize every day of the drive.
Scared me.
So if you call 877-500-5266 now, you can be entered to win that prize.
That's right.
All 20 tickets.
All 20.
Or you can go to kboo.fm and click on donate.
You're right. You know what it is?
Or not click on donate, but
I'm just overcaffeinated and I was just so in shock and surprised. I was like, 20 tickets, but you're right. Because 10 and 10 make 20.
It's been a long day for all of us.
But that's just a testament to how much we believe in what we're doing and how much we believe in you, our listener, and you, our community member. And by community, which I think that word gets thrown around a lot, but it literally means, like, we know that you're real humans out there walking around, driving, listening to KBOO, you know, taking your dog for a walk, trying to figure out where you're going to go for a drink tonight. We are really dedicated to continually being here for you when you need us. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. You can also, as you know, go on to kboo.fm and click that blinking donate button.
Mm-hmm. And the newscast is a volunteer-driven...
That it is. You can say it.
I'm also a volunteer for the news.
You are.
We put a lot of effort into it.
You do.
Especially during this time, during the fall membership drive. We have phones ringing off the hooks.
Yes.
If you want to donate, you can call 877-500-5266.
Right. $5 a month, $60 yearly. We've been talking about the burrito effect.
The burrito
effect.
What is
that if it's an affordable burrito?
An affordable burrito.
Or do you want a perennial hug? It's the eternal hug of your community radio station. It's $5 a month. Right. The hug of
justice. The hug of justice.
How it should feel.
In the form of a hoodie.
That's right. How it should feel. $5 a month, $60 yearly. Move with us into the future. 877-500-5266. Or going on to kboo.fm and looking at that wonderful blinking button that says donate. Become a part of community radio.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned for Counterspin at 5:30, followed by Rising Up with Sonali at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow, we can expect a mostly cloudy day with a slight chance of showers and temperatures in the high 60s. East of the Cascades, you can look forward to a bit more sun and temperatures reaching the low 70s. On this date, in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor was named as the first female Associate Justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. She retired from the court in 2006. She then served as Chancellor of the College of William and Mary until 2012. The quote of the day is from Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who said, quote, "I think the most important thing about my appointment is not that I will decide cases as a woman, but that I am a woman who will get to decide cases." End quote.
Last week, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders introduced his single-payer Medicare for All plan. Although the plan has little chance of passage in the Republican-controlled Congress, commentator Mark Trahant points out that the bill would fully fund the Indian health system and fulfill all treaty rights.
Last week, Bernie Sanders introduced his version of health care reform, a plan he calls Medicare for All. This is Trahant Reports. Medicare for all is where the country has got to go, Sanders told the Washington Post. Right now, if we want to move away from a dysfunctional, wasteful, bureaucratic system into a rational healthcare system that guarantees coverage to everyone in a cost-effective way. Sanders' bill has no chance in a Republican Congress. Yet the Vermont Independent, who caucuses with the Democrats, is adding to the richness of the debate. He is showing a clear alternative to the many Republican plans, including the latest by Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Indian country should definitely take note. Sanders' bill would fully fund the Indian health system. Let's do the math. The current budget for the Indian Health Service is $6.091 billion, and of that, $1.2 billion will come from Medicaid, Medicare, and other insurance. This serves about 2.2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives in 39 states. So if Sanders' proposal for universal care were enacted, every one of those 2.2 million patients would have funding from insurance. The national average for a Medicare beneficiary is $10,986. That totals $24.191 billion. A fourfold increase, and that doesn't even include appropriations, just insurance dollars. If you include both, the total is roughly $30 billion. This sounds like an awful lot of money, right? Yet, that big number reflects what other health systems already spend. So it's actually the ideal demonstration of just how underfunded the Indian Health Service is under current law. This is what a fully funded treaty right looks like. Of course, some of this can be done now, even without Sanders' bill. Many people in tribal communities are posting on Facebook exactly how to sign up for Medicaid, the government insurance program that so many in Indian country already qualify for. They are doing this as an act of defiance because the Trump administration has recently quit advertising the program and is not actively promoting signups. So again, let's do the math. If every American Indian and Alaska Native was eligible for Medicaid, that would net the Indian health system about $7.2 billion. Either way, Medicare or Medicaid, this is what full funding looks like, and a treaty right fulfilled. I'm Mark Trahant.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Long Root Ale is made from a new wheat variety that keeps more carbon in the soil. And in this report from Climate Connections, Dr. Anthony Lizowitz tells us about Patagonia's climate-friendly beer.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Beer drinkers can raise their glasses to the quest for a sustainable future with a new brew called Long Root Ale. It's made from a kind of wheat called kernza. Kernza is a perennial, which means it grows back year after year. Because Kernza fields are not replanted each year, the fields do not need tilling, so carbon stays in the soil instead of being released into the atmosphere. And the plant's long, deep roots help it conserve water and hold on to nutrients, so it's more resilient to heat and drought. Birgit Cameron is with Patagonia Provisions, the food division of the clothing company. She says Patagonia created long root ale to introduce more people to this new crop.
It's a great way of promoting or at least supporting a new crop that can also remove a little carbon from the atmosphere.
For now, Kernza is only farmed on a small scale. Long root ale is the first major commercial product to use the grain. But Cameron says there are more Kernza foodstuffs in the pipeline, both at Patagonia and elsewhere. That's promising for consumers who want to eat and drink well while saving the planet.
It tastes mighty fine.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Yesterday, Facebook announced that it would provide the U.S. Congress with more than 3,000 politically themed ads that were purchased with Russian accounts during last year's presidential campaign. During an appearance on Facebook Live, CEO Mark Zuckerberg said, quote, "I care deeply about the democratic process and protecting its integrity." He went on to say that he didn't want anyone using Facebook's tools to undermine democracy. Zuckerberg's announcement came after 2 weeks of controversy. On September 6th, Facebook announced that Russian agents had covertly bought ads during the presidential campaign. They said that over 450 Russian-linked accounts had been established in which fictional people posed as American activists. But after the initial admission, the social media giant angered congressional investigators by showing only a sample of the ads, some of which attacked Hillary Clinton or praised Donald J. Trump. In yesterday's live stream, Zuckerberg appeared to change direction and stated that Facebook was, quote, "actively working," end quote, with the U.S. government in the ongoing Russia investigations. For social media companies, the furor over Russia's interference raises the fear of increasing government regulation, at least for the parts of their business that involve political advertising. True to form, President Trump called the reports of Russian ads on Facebook during the election a hoax, and once again pointed an accusing finger at Hillary Clinton.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Kyle and Zelos to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey, people out there.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kyle, and this is Zelos.
That's right. And we're here definitely working hard to support community radio and entice you to become even more a part of everything that we believe in.
Absolutely.
You know, we were talking off and on about what has become what we call the burrito effect.
The burrito
right,
effect.
Kyle, it started where we were realizing that $5 a month is equal to about a fancy coffee or an affordable burrito.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were talking about breaking that down into segments.
Yes.
For those who are like, well, convince me that I want to give $5 a month, $60 yearly.
Well,
where does each dollar and component go?
Well, let's say KBOO Community Radio is a burrito. We have the tortilla laid out.
What would that be?
Justice on
justice
it. Some justice.
Tortilla, okay.
Honesty.
Right.
I forget some of the other things that I said. Justice, honesty.
I think compassion could be the cheese. It's the emotion.
I think
emotion.
Compassion's a big one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you know where we're going here. For $5 a month or whatever you can give, honestly, 877-500-5266, you get to be a part of this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
The burrito effect. The burrito of actually delivering justice, compassion, real community, real people. We believe in you. 877-500-5266 or by going on to kboo.fm and clicking on the donate button.
And you can affect change in your community through the reporting you hear on the KBOO Evening News. And through you, we hold policymakers and officials accountable and often break stories that are critical and of local importance. So take a stand for truth. Take a stand for freedom of information. Take a stand for facts. You are part of this powerful movement of participation, independent media, and we need your help. So call that number, 877-500-5266, or go on kboo.fm and click on donate.
That's right. And, you know, it occurred to me, we talk a lot about, you know, local and, you know, our sibling stations nationally, internationally, you know, but I thought to myself, we haven't really done, you know, call out to those who are new, new to the area at all. And we want you to know that, you know, in order to help Kibu healthy, you know, we need you to participate in this. If you're just tuning in, if you're totally new, know that Kibu's been here for almost, it's actually coming up 50 years, half a century.
I'm so excited. There's going to be a museum exhibit it, and it's going to be a blast.
It is going to be. It's already. There's been planning for the last, I think, more than a year get ready for this.
It's been a while, but since the 48th year.
That's true, since the 48th year.
But one thing that's remarkable is all the things that's been uncovered in the archives. Because if you become a member for $10 a month or give a $120 donation for the fall membership drive, you'll get a USB drive of a lot of archives that KBOO has collected over the years. It's excerpts from Dick Gregory's speech, Noam Chomsky, Ken Kesey speaking of Powell's books in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just dozens of really movement makers, I would say, in a lot of ways.
That's right. So if you're new to the area, consider that donation. You can get caught up in all the amazing things that have made KBOO a part of the world. We have a really incredible national reach for that reason. I think we are trusted. We say trusted source a lot, but I think we're just a trusted location, to be quite honest. And so become a member now. If you haven't thought about it, give us a try. 877-500-5226, or going on to kboo.fm and clicking donate. You know, I think a lot of people coming to town try to figure out, okay, where is that alternative media? Where is that radio station, you know, that I can depend on? Well, it's here. 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm and clicking on donate.
I remember when I was a wee lad, I came to Portland wide-eyed, looking for a place to do radio things in journalism. And then I found KBOO, and now I'm part of the newscast. I'm a producer on Wednesdays.
That's right.
And now I'm pitching to you to come join us, either as a volunteer or support us financially by calling 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on donate. We need your support.
We do. That's a sparkling testimony. Kyle and I are buddies. We're buddies in the newsroom.
Yeah.
You are my zen-like rock in the middle of wild news that happens weekly.
Yeah.
At least a couple of times when I do see you.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
That's the reason why I love what we do. There's no other organization where you literally can come and take classes, you know, bone up on what it is to be writing for broadcast, bone up on what it is to do production, all these things. It's not just in word that we do this. It's in action also. You really are and can be a proactive part of community journalism and also just public affairs. When we say that, music programs, all that, you can come in and learn how to produce the show and host it. You become literally a part of the process. 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. Or for the digi people out there, going on to kboo.fm and clicking on donate.
Whether it's journalism, music, or just to meet some great people, KBOO is the place for you. That's 877-500-5266. Call in to make a donation or go on kboo.fm and click on donate.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production.
For WIN, I'm Joanne Powers. Michigan's Civil Service Commission voted this week to amend rules governing collective bargaining for state employees. The commission prohibited bargaining over a number of subjects, including overtime assignments, seniority, and transfers, and allowed departments to pay an extra 20% premium to some hand-selected non-union employees. The commissioners voting in favor were all appointed by Republican Governor Rick Snyder. Nick Shamataro is Director of Legislation and Public Policy for Michigan AFSCME Council 25.
It's a clear-cut attack on the collective bargaining system, and obviously that's what unions do. This is the governor that signed Right to Work in Michigan, proposed it, pushed it, and signed it into law. So I think his attitude toward collective bargaining rights speak for themselves. It has worked for 40 years. There haven't been any strikes in the state. There haven't been any work stoppages. Our workforce has collaborated with multiple administrations to deal with serious fiscal crises on the understanding that while we've taken over the last decade probably 10.5% in terms of reductions in compensation and benefits, in exchange for respect and dignity, which is the right to collectively bargain working conditions, we kept our end of the bargain.
Shemataro says many of these changes undermine the integrity of the state government.
It does open up the door to corruption.
Graduate student workers at Washington University in St. Louis have filed for a union election, saying that administration decisions routinely disrespect the role of graduate student workers. Seeking to join the Service Employees International Union, they are pushing for improvements ranging from a better deal on health care to dental, vision, and child care benefits. Grace Ward is a member of the student organizing committee, Graduate Workers Forward.
The administration is still adamant in classifying us as students, not workers. The ability to unionize seems to be the only option to make life more livable here.
Ward alleges that the university is trying to intimidate international students working on F-1 visas through claims that if students go on strike, the university would revoke their student status and have them deported. The university is also likely to stall the election in hope that Trump appointees to the National Labor Relations Board overturn the ruling that allows the workers to organize.
We're focusing on maintaining momentum and trying our best to stay unified as the university actively tries to divide us through tactics like were displayed in the F-1 visa thing, and as they try to undermine the ruling that establishes that we are in fact workers. We basically have an administration that's colluding with the Trump administration, so that just makes us feel that this is time sensitive. We need to do it well and make sure that everybody is informed and engaged as union members, but we also need to try to push this through as quickly as we can.
WIN is brought to you in part by the Amalgamated Transit Union, the largest labor union representing transit and allied workers in the U.S. and Canada. Online at atu.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
A Florida company is scrambling to rehire employees that were fired after failing to report to work during Hurricane Irma and its aftermath. Lee Health, a hospital company, is one of the largest employers in Lee County, Florida. Their emergency preparedness plan in case of hurricanes puts essential employees in two groups, which are switched out of duty during emergency events. Many of the employees had either followed recommendations to evacuate or had pre-planned trips during Irma, but they were still fired. The company spokeswoman, Mary Briggs, said, quote, "We have leaders that were doing what they thought they were supposed to do," end quote. Briggs pointed out that it's important to have the hospital staffed during emergencies. The hospital offers employees the opportunity to shelter in their facility and bring their families and pets, she said. Employees who contacted their supervisors and communicated they couldn't be at work will be rehired.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Isabel Cochran and Annette Newell. The producer is Ray Bodwell. Our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Celos Marchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to kboo.portland. Let me say that again. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
And I'm Reuben Lawrence. Coming up on Monday morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on More Talk Radio, Cecil and Celeste welcome voting rights champion and investigative reporter Greg Pallas to bring you the latest news of Trump's attempts to rig the vote. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour burrows down to the great issues of our time and goes where corporate media fears to tread. At 10 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks to toxicologist Emily Monson, author of Natural Defense, Enlisting Bugs and Germs to Protect Our Food and Health. At 11, it's Making Contact. Leading up to the U.S. Supreme Court hearing on Trump's travel ban, we'll hear about the impact on people from affected Muslim-majority countries and how advocacy groups like the Council on Islamic Relations are responding. And at 11:30, Voices for Animals talks to local animal rights activist Dani Rukin about her direct action at grocery stores, zoos, slaughterhouses, and anywhere else she finds animals being exploited. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved during this fall membership drive. Call 877-500-KBOO or go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. Thanks for listening, and good night. Good night, Linda.
Good night, Reuben. Good night, Jenna.
Good night, everybody.
To Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, virtually every newscast will contain some item about the economy. It's always been a very inexact way to talk. The economy encompasses many factors and many actors. But as a new report underscores, even if we're just talking about people's economic well-being, speaking in broad terms doesn't just miss a lot, it's anti-explanatory. It obscures more than it reveals. The report is called The Road to Zero Wealth,